Scripture reading for this morning will be Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. Luke 8, 4 through 8. And when a great crowd was gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell in good soil and grew in the year of the hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Okay, thanks for that reading. Good to see everybody this morning. Had a good worship service, good Bible study. Good to see everybody out to worship God in spirit and truth. Good to see Kyle. Sit over back. Go ahead, Mr. Kyle. Everybody's pretty tough taking a pregnant wife and a baby for a week at the beach. He made it. He's smiling. Everybody's happy. Good to see everyone. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Paul says this, "Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." We're not to grow weary in well-doing. We're encouraged in that in the Word of God. Three ideas. I want you to listen up to three ideas. And when I say these three ideas, I want you to think about what the common thread is in these three ideas. Walking on water, jumping over the moon, or talking to somebody about Jesus Christ. You think the common thread in that is that all of those things are difficult to do, and you're thinking like I'm thinking. Certainly, we can't walk on water, and I don't have the vertical wings to jump over the moon, but I'll tell you what, talking to somebody about Jesus Christ in a meaningful way, what's that do for you? It kind of brings forth a big old heavy sigh, doesn't it? Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I've tried to do that. Yeah, but you know what? No. I just haven't had any resolve in that. Just seems like that's impossible to do for me. Right now, somebody's thinking, you know, we just had BBS, and I invited some folks to BBS. And you know, I just invited, and sent, and not one person sent. The person that I invited didn't come to BBS, they didn't come. I've asked folks to study the Bible with me. I've asked folks to listen to sermons. I've talked to people about sermons and all of that goes with it. And it doesn't seem to make one bit of difference. Nobody listens. In fact, they'd rather not hear me say a word about it. About Jesus Christ. And folks have their own beliefs. And folks are determined to hold on to those beliefs. And folks don't want to listen to what I believe. The Bible says, Galatians 6, 9, I read that. We're right in the middle of growing weary and well-doing. We try, and we try harder, and then we try harder and harder, and we get so tired of trying to talk to people about Jesus Christ, and what we end up doing, we just give up. I don't need to show of hands. I see on your faces everything I'm saying is exactly right. Why is that? Have you ever really thought why evangelism is difficult? Have you ever thought about why we don't actually see a lot of visible results? When we talk about evangelism, now you realize, of course, that you're asking those questions. And we're talking about those things, but we're not the first folks to ask that. You think about Noah. He preached 100 years, and as best as we can tell by the text, that the only folks that got on that boat was his family. How about Jeremiah? 40 years. 40 years. And he preached nothing but the Word of God for 40 years, and he was just ignored. And I tell you what, you want to talk about discouragement when reaching and teaching others. And we all talk about the Lord. Spent 3 years with his prophet. 3 years talking about the kingdom, talking about the spiritual nature of the kingdom, talking about all of those things and witnessing the miracles of the Son of Man. What was the last thing they asked him before he ascended to heaven? Well, you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel now? Where's our sword? We're going to fight now? I just wonder if there wasn't a big old heavy sigh right there that Luke didn't record, right? You talk about discouragement, and you know, we get discouraged in evangelism sometimes. You know, we think sometimes, you know, if I just talk to somebody enough, long enough, or if I just keep talking to a bunch of people, sooner or later, I'm going to see some visible results of what I've been doing. Then, of course, you go to those evangelism workshops. Anybody been to evangelism workshops? I'll tell you what, they're amazing things. So here's what this guy does. He's Mr. Charismatic. He bursts out on the scene. You got a room full of preachers and they're all egomaniacs. He bursts out into the scene and he says, "Well, let me tell you how we do it." And he says, "Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you what happened to me. I'm this place. I backed out. When I backed out, I rolled over this Harley, smashed it all to pieces. Here comes this big biker guy out, man, and I'll tell you, next thing I know, we've had a Bible study. You know what I mean? And then he beat me out. Why? We had Bible study. That never happened to me. Why don't that happen to me? I wonder why that didn't happen. This morning I want to talk very frankly about evangelism. And I want to make some useful points, some things that I think will help us, even when we talk. Even when we don't see visible results of it, and this isn't going to be a sermon about, I'm going to shout at you first. Hey, you need to try hard. You guys need to knock on more doors, and you know what, you're just not this. I'll tell you what, you guys are better Christians. Well, we'd be baptizing 3,000. That's not what this is about. I want to be realistic about the challenges of evangelism. And in that, I want to fuel your desire to actually do that. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. And I think there's reasons that we're not doing it. And one, I think, on top of everything is that we're not seeing visible results. And that bothers. John chapter 4. Let's begin reading John. We're going to be in that text. John chapter 4. Let's look at verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples were saying to one another, "No one brought him anything to eat, did he?" Notice, he said, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, they are white for harvest. Already, he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and the other reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have labored not. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Now there's a lot there in that text. And the first thing that Jesus wants to talk about is, when you're talking about working for the Lord, there's two kinds of work in evangelism. There's two kinds of it. There is a sowing, and there is a reaping. What's detective work involved? Dave knows about that, I'm sure. What does detective work involve? You ever think about it? I'll tell you what it involves. You got to take that guy down the alley, beat him up, put handcuffs on him, and he finally solved the case and cracked it wide open, and the cameras are flashing, and everybody's ooh, ah, ah, the guy's great. Is that detective work, Dave? I'll tell you what Dave probably saying. It's hours and hours of boring stakeout. You're sitting there, nothing ever happened. You're running insurance records, cell phone records, telephone records. That other stuff, you know what that is? That's TV. And a lot of times when we think about evangelism, you know what we think? We think about, oh, I've got every passage lined out about baptism. And I talk to this guy, and I tell you what, every argument he can throw up to me, I've got it lined out. Here we go. We've been doing it. And then all of a sudden, you know what he does? See? Here's water. Well, here's me from being baptized. And that glow that we get about baptizing somebody into Christ, why, that's evangelism, isn't it? Not at all. Jesus said, "You wait a minute. That's not what evangelism is. That's not what he's talking about. There's a whole lot more to evangelism than the harvest, than the reaping, Notice, there's also this thing called sowing. Did you not say that there are 4 months and then behold, verse 35 comes the harvest? Behold, lift up your eyes, look at the field. They're white for harvest. You know what? There's going to be harvesting done. If there's going to be any harvesting done, We're going to have to do some planting. And I tell you what, I believe that is the forgotten truth of evangelism. That's the forgotten truth of evangelism. It's not the harvest. It's the sowing that we're missing out. Evangelism plot, that's the teaching process. You know what that entails? That takes time. That takes time. Sowing takes time. You need to put someone in a position to hear the Word of God. You need to put someone in a position to receive this seed that we're talking about, that it can go into their heart. And all that takes months, might take years for that to happen. And so you sow. That's why God sent John the Baptist. Talk a little bit about him this morning. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Let's read Mark's account. Mark chapter 1, look at it with me, please. Verse 1, beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written, Isaiah says this, Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism's always been for the forgiveness of sins. But you know what? God knew if Jesus broke on the scene, preaching the radical message that he preached, it broke people out of water. People were not ready to hear and see Jesus Christ until John the Baptist prepared the way for his message. What did John the Baptist do? He made ready. He prepared the way. He prepared their heart. He got the ground ready for Jesus Christ. So the sowing of the Word of God that comes from Jesus will do what? Penetrate the hearts of men. What's the application of that? What's our application? Well, one of the things I need to be asking myself. Am I more interested in the resolve and those visible results? Am I trying to reap before I sow? Is that what I've been trying to do? Reap before I sow? Listen, you got a Muslim friend, John does, and I know several. And you're hammering in baptism, and you can spit out New Testament verses all day about baptism. You ought not to be surprised when there's no baptism. Because you're talking to a person who does not even believe that the New Testament is the inspired Word of God. You ought not to be surprised with no baptism. He don't even believe what you're reading. Trust in God. Am I trying to harvest? A little early? Maybe on something I need to say. And you need to do a different type of harvesting. I'll tell you what. More and more people in our society, they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. And you think about that, and you go to your neighbor, and I watch out. You watch out. You tell somebody, say, hey, do you believe the Bible? Now be careful. Oh, yeah, I believe the Bible. They don't believe the Bible like you believe the Bible. They don't believe the Bible is the true, inspired, God-breathed Word of God from God. They don't believe that. When they say they believe the Bible, you know what they're saying? Well, I believe the Bible is a good book. Got some real good stories. It's a good book. Yeah, that's what the Bible is. You need to be careful. You need to be careful there. But again, so, and you want to talk about, but you know what we do from there? It's amazing. We got a guy like that says that about the Bible. You know what we do? We want to talk about instrumental music. We want to talk about the one church concept. We want to talk about baptism, and wait a minute. I mean, why we're not doing any good for God? We got a lot of work to do before we go there. Got a lot of sowing to do before we go there. I'm talking to someone who doesn't even know me, and really doesn't know, and I invite, I do this and that. There's no trust there. Who is it? We look back, maybe some strange church service. And then we look up, well, they didn't come. Huh? Well, what do you mean they didn't come? They're not going to come. There's been no sowing done. We want to reach that harvest right out the gate. That's what disturbs me about those guys again. Those amazing conversion stories. You know what they are? They're all about reaping. Here's this guy. He's downtown. Here's the parade. And here comes the bunch that hates the Bible. America hates the Bible parade. Whatever. And here they come. They're coming at this guy. And he steps down off the curb. And he flips his Bible over to Acts 2:38. And looks, here you go, buddy. And that guy goes, would you baptize me, huh? Now, I don't know everything about everything, but I know that there had to be some sowing that took place before that event could take place. Don't you? There has to be some planning going on before you can convert somebody in 5 seconds. Now, sometimes the reason we don't want to sow is because of our ego. We're in the reaping business. That's what's impressive. That's what's really fun. We know what the truth is that Jesus is saying here, but we don't want being a planter of God's Word, being a sower of God's Word. Folks, not that glamorous. It's just not that glamorous. We like to see the guys catching them, don't we? Oh, I'm a fisher of rivers here. I've got me another one. Look how big that one is. How many I got? That's what we want. We want to see them resolved. Yeah. I got me another one. Evangelism isn't about your ego. Evangelism is about leading lost people, pointing lost people to Jesus Christ. That's what evangelism is about. We have to share in the privilege of that with each other, regardless of what you're doing, whether it's sowing, whether it's reaping, whatever you're doing. We all share in that progress. Well, we need to remember is evangelism. If somebody's going to reap, somebody's going to have to sow. Somebody's going to have to do the planning. Both works are necessary. And the truth of the matter is, you know what's more important than both of them? Sowing and reaping. Sowing is the important matter that we are not doing. How much do you know about migrant workers? Well, we hear about migrant workers a lot now. But migrant workers were made famous by John Steinbeck's novel, The Grace of Wrath. I don't know how many of you like John Steinbeck. I think The Grace of Wrath is probably the top 10 novels ever written. I love Steinbeck. Of Mice and Men is the greatest novel ever written, in my opinion. It's a great novel. But it was made famous, migrant workers were made famous during the Dust Bowl and all of that. And of course, the migrant worker in our country, what's he do? He harvests. The migrant worker harvests. That's what they do. They go to Washington and pick apples, then they migrate down to the Midwest, pick watermelons and strawberries, then they migrate down to Florida, they pick oranges and citrus. That's what they do. That's how all that works. And of course, some of them are here illegally. We talked about that. But the reason that they can do that, why do they do that? I'll tell you why. Because harvesting is a no-brainer. That's why they do that. And here's an apple. When it's red and it's hanging on that tree, you pick it and put it in your bag. There you go. And you're out there in the field, and there's strawberries there. I'm going to say, this is a ripe strawberry. See? You bend down and pick that one up and put it in your bag. That's how the harvesting works, you see. It's not complicated. I'm going to say it's not hard work. It's hard work. It's real hard work. You ever pick something? It's hard work. All of that's hard work. But you don't have to be a scientific rocket to do it. Don't say you have a scientific rocket. You have to be a rocket scientist. So that's what I'm saying. You just pick it up and put it in your bag. That's how it works. Now, let me ask you a question. What's the maximum number of grapefruit trees that you can plant in an acre of ground to yield the best grapefruit, the most grapefruit? What kind of fertilizer and how much fertilizer do you put on an acre of strawberries to have the best yield? How about how much water should you irrigate in an acre of ground in your orange grove to yield the biggest, best oranges in the most? Do you know? I don't know. I don't have a clue about any of those. You know who knows? The farmer knows. The migrant worker doesn't know. The farmer is the one. He's got to know all that stuff because he's the guy that's doing what? He's doing all the farm work. He's doing all the planning. He's doing all the cultivating. He's the one that makes those plans and informed decisions to get the best yield for his crop. All of that thing. All of that's him. And then here comes the harvest. And it's the simple. That farmer, he can put a sign out by the road that says, you come on in here and all you can pick, $2 a quart. And I can understand that. As a city boy, I can pull in there and pick me some strawberries. I get that part, but his part I don't get. So, hard work. Hard work. Verse 38. John 4, 38. Look what he says. Verse 38. I seek you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. You know what the Greek word for labor is? Labor. Tough, isn't it? That's deep, isn't it? And you look at that, it's hard work. Difficult toil. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. It's hard work to sell. Jesus tells them, hey, guess what you're doing? You're entering in here, and you're just enjoying the benefit of somebody else's hard work. You get the easy part. You get the glorious part, the glamorous part. But in order for you to do that, the reaping part, hey, somebody had to do the tough part. Now, honestly, harvesting really is easy. It's pretty easy. Even in evangelism. You get somebody come here to Sandyville, huh? You ask somebody, that work, your neighbor, your friend, hey, come to church. And they don't. Then you ask again, come to church, they don't. Come to church, they don't. Come to CBS, they don't. Come to the meeting, they don't. Come to, finally, they have a kid, something happens in their life. Hey, you need to come to church. And they do. Everybody knows when you have a kid, you need to go to church. That's a given. So they come to church. And they listen. And they hear. They hear the Bible studies. They hear the lessons. They hear the sermons. They hear us talking. They hear all of that. And then they talk to you a little bit more. And then they talk to you a little bit more. And then they say, you know what? All that stuff and ask, I don't know if I'm doing that. I thought I was a Christian. But maybe I'm not a Christian. And then you come to me and you say, hey, you know those folks come to me?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? We're talking about being a Christian. You think you can talk with a little bit? For sure. I'll be glad to do that. I'll sit down. Half hour. 45 minutes. Open up the Bible. Some few verses. They look up and say, what hinders me from being baptized? Yeah. If anybody could have done that, the reason part of what you just did is easy. I tell you what, my part in all of that, you can put glasses on the bear and I think he can do it. It's not a big deal. You can do that. What's hard is the sowing part. Not sowing.
Sowing requires hard work to cultivate. You know what cultivating is? Getting that soil ready. And you remember when the Lord talked about what T-Rex read, he talked about four different kinds of soil. Some soil is hard. Very hard. That's the wayside soil. It's all packed down. People can't get in there. If you're ever going to have any effect on somebody that has that kind of heart, somebody's got to get in there and do what? Plow that up. They'll plow that up. Some folks got rocks in their lives. All kinds of mean things, prejudiced things about the Lord's church, about Christians, about all of those things. Somebody's got to get those rocks out of their lives. That's hard. Preacher friend I know, him and his buddy, they went to this guy farm, Texas, and they were going to do some quail hunting. And the guy was Texas farm was huge. And they got in trouble for that the farm. He was going to show them quail hunting. And they're driving down out through that guy's farm, and the farmer's driving. It's 7:30 in the morning. He had a beard, you know, he gets 7:30 in the morning. He's going down, going for the hunt. And he said, he looked at his buddy, and he said, a preacher friend, and he said, what do you boys do for a living? And he said, well, I'm a medical doctor. That's cool. So my preacher friend didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. They went a little farther, and the guy said, "I swear, what do you do for a living?" And my preacher friend said, "I'm a moral and ethical consultant for an all-volunteer organization." That blew him out of the water. And Father said he was a preacher. "What do you preach?" "Well, I preach the gospel for the Church of Christ." "Church of Christ? Why, I had an auntie of the Church of Christ. She's the meanest thing that was in this long story about his aunt, and she's a hypocrite and all that stuff. We're all through all that." Now, before anybody's ever going to preach the gospel to that guy, you want to get them up out of there. Because the key is, when he hears Church of Christ, that aunt comes on the scene, and all kinds of things comes into his vision. And there's a lot of things you're going to have to wade through there. He's got all these barriers as soon as he hears the word Church of Christ. But he's around somebody that loves the Lord, that loves the truth, that says the right things the right way, patient, loving, kind, and what being a child of God really means. You know what happens, don't you? Bit by bit, that heart can be cultivated. That's what the Lord's talking about. And not just popping off and getting angry. Listen, cultivating that heart. It's hard to do. That's hard to do. Also, part of that story, business is planting. Planting. We're not good at planting. About planting, I mean, talking to folks, I guess there's an art to it. There's an ability to it. To introduce new spiritual ideas, what the Bible says, without offending somebody. We need to be able to do that. We need to gain the ability to do that. Anybody can run around shouting Bible verses to people. Anybody. Folks load up their gospel gun, 50 verses, come in a room blasting with a KJV 47. What? It's not going to work. It doesn't work. You ever notice Jesus? How he slid the truth in on people? The greatest teacher that ever walked the earth. We say that all the time. You know what? If he's the greatest teacher that ever walked the earth, we need to figure out how he taught. You ever read the gospel? Next time you read the gospel, any of the gospel, I want you to look in there at how many times Jesus asked questions. He asked good questions. And his questions make people think. Sometimes we think about evangelism, we think we're going to do all the talk. We just got to talk the talk. No. That's not how the Lord talks. That great conversion story in Acts chapter 8, Ethiopian eunuch. Remember that thing? What he said? Do you know what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? Just questions like that. They get people's hearts worked out. That plants a seed. That plants something in there. And when that's planted, you know another part of sowing? Nurture. We need nurture. Somebody that person can trust. Yeah. Can find in. We need to gain that trust. So when doubts come in that person's life, hey, wait a minute. You know what? I never heard that when I was a kid, when I was growing up. The Bible says that way. I don't know about that. You need to be able to nurture that. You need to be able to help that. Nurturing the Word of God. What's verse 37 say? He says this, "For in that case the saying is true, one sow," he says, "another one reaps." Verse 38, "I think you're to reap for that which you have not sown." Farmer, he may feel like reap. That's the fun part. The fun part is, it's just gratifying for us to see visible results. But the farmer knows he just can't get up one morning, go to the field and say, "I'm going to reap today. Yeah, I'm into today. That's what I'm going to do today." He knows the field needs to wait till they grow, till the seed is planted, till it's nurtured and developed. He knows when he must reap. That's kind of a good farmer. In our teaching efforts, I think, a lot of times we do exactly the same thing, though. It's true that if somebody doesn't do all the hard work, so folks, I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be hard. we don't do the hard work to sow them, they will never be a harvest. He says that God will reward both. You know what I'm saying? Both the sowers and the reapers. And I tell you what, that's just another thing that the Lord just keeps in contradict modern day thinking. It just goes down to culture, the contemporary culture. Because we live in a society that does what? It rewards the stars. It rewards the stars and has a star system. Who gets paid the most on the football field? Fullback. Line of the back. Halfback, fullback, wide receiver. They get paid the most. These big fat people on the line, they don't get paid nothing. They don't get paid nothing. Who was the quarterback in 1969 Super Bowl that won the Super Bowl to beat the Baltimore Colts? New York Jets quarterback. Who was that? Joe Namath. Who was the left tackle for the Jets, Brent? There you go. We know who the quarterback is. He's got the buzz. He's the guy getting paid all that.
Yeah.
Now, that's why we'll remember a defensive linebacker or somebody like that because he's got to have a good defense in order for that big paid quarterback to have the ball.
Yeah.
What about in business? What about CEO? Okay. I know who the CEO is of UPS, know his history, know when he started, know how he started. Well, started loading packages out of a semi-truck 3 hours a day when he's 18 so he could take his girlfriend out for dinner. Now he's CEO. Sauce Austin. I know exactly how many millions a year he made. But I don't know 150,000 brown plays running around making him that money. I don't even know the name. How about the general out there that's got that war plan? All right, about the major. What Patton did. Cut them soldiers. Huh? Another name? What about among us? I'll tell you this. There's not a lot of perks and fringe benefits of being a preacher. One of the things that I do get to do more than you probably do is baptize somebody. You know, I love it. There's a joy, I think, in doing that, unlike any other. To see somebody come up out of the water with the water coming off of them, be born into Christ that way. And seeing that smile that goes from here to heaven, and you know the angels are rejoicing. It's an amazing and wonderful thing to be a part of. But unfortunately, I think a lot of times, you know what the reality of that is? Makes the preacher the star. Yeah. He's the guy that's really doing something, isn't he? Well, he's the guy that's doing it. Yeah, he's really, yeah. And you know what the Lord said? He said, stop with that. You need to stop with that. You need to stop thinking like that. That's not how it is in God's economy. God knows reaping is very cool, but I'll tell you what, He knows that sowing is absolutely necessary. The Lord knows while we are fathers and daughters and reapers, He knows the sowers are totally necessary. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I believe this is the most significant passage in the New Testament in the matter of evangelism. And the reason I believe that is because so much of our weariness with evangelism has to do with a lack of visible results. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Talk about getting some glory. Who gets the glory in evangelism? I planted, verse 6, the pot of water, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God. God's the one that causes the growth. What's that all about? Who gets the glory in this thing? Who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Jesus is the hero in this story. Not the guy standing in the baptistry. Not the guy that taught you. Not the guy that gives you the material to teach the guy. None of those count. Jesus is the hero. It's all about the Lord. Evangelism is all about we need to get our eyes off ourselves. We need to give glory to God in our efforts for God. God knows. God knows who contributed. God knows how that came to be. All of that. You know what? In heaven, every celebration will be a team effort. Every one of us. You know you can be a part of an effort and not even know that you were the one that bore fruit. Yeah. Yeah, the unsung heroes will have their reward in heaven. You know what it says? You're in heaven. to the yard and hitch out this guy. And wait a minute. Hey, what are you doing here? I never thought you'd be here. Huh? Yeah, well, I'm here. No kidding. Yeah. You remember you kept inviting me and kept inviting me and kept inviting me to church? Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember that. Never would go. Yeah, I remember that. Never would go. Yeah. Well, we moved away. Yeah, I remember when you moved away. Well, we fell on some hard times. And you know what? We knew that we needed God. And so I remember what you told me. That if you ever go to church, go to a church that believes in the Bible, you need to go to the Church of Christ. And we did. And while we were there, we heard the gospel. And we obeyed the gospel. Yeah. We found the Church of Christ. And you know what? I want you to tell me again how you're discouraged in evangelism. Folks, you don't know what to do. You don't know the effect that you're having on people. You don't know the long-term result that your life has, the impact that your life has. We're Americans. We've got a scoreboard mentality, don't we? Who did the most? Who has the most? We say some things about giving God the glory, but sometimes, I don't know about that. The reason I can say that first-hand experience is, you ever watch preachers get together in meetings and different sessions and seminars? You ever watch them? I've been part of those discussions where you see three or four guys standing around with their hands in their pockets and big preacher time. I mean, you baptized last year, too, close. Huh? 17. 17. Well, I'll tell you what we did. What's going to do? We baptized 19. And then the 17 guy said, yeah, but how many of them kids are members? I'm listening to all this. I'm taking all this in. We're in visible results. We're into getting glory for ourselves. Yes, we are. Preacher's got the biggest ego I've ever seen in my life. You know what? I talked to my neighbor 5 or 6 times. And you know what? I'm just done. I'm just done. It's not doing me a bit of good. That's wrong. That's dead wrong. God knows that the work of evangelism takes effort. It takes lots of trying. It takes lots of sowing. It takes lots of cultivating. It takes lots of nurturing. Listen, He'll be pleased with you and your word in the kingdom if there is never one single visible result. God is pleased when you do everything that you can to lead somebody to Christ in every way that you can, and He'll reward you the same way. The Lord is pleased with you because the Lord knows what you did, what you were supposed to do. Yeah. Folks, you mark it down. We are not soiled infectious. We are not soil infectious. Stop being soil infectious with seed plants. All too often, we evaluate somebody and we go, I want to be baptized. My neighbor said, no way. How about that guy drinking that beer at 7:30 in the morning? No way, he's out. How about the guy I work with? That guy's been married 3 times. Huh? No. Because we want to see visible results. We decide God will only reward somewhere along the line. We decided God's only going to reward us in evangelism if we see visible results. What we need to do, brethren, is touch people's lives and lead them to Jesus Christ. We need to point people to the cross. Whether they ever get there or not, it's not my business. That's between them and God. My responsibility is to nudge them again, work with them, pray with them, invite them, teach them. That's my responsibility. When I do that, I'm going to tell you something. What this is me here, when I do that, God is just as pleased with me as He is if I baptize 3,000 people. What we need to remember, brethren, as long as God pleases our work, we don't have to depend on visible results. Oh, I'm backsliding in about 2 years there.
Human thinking.
Not eternal thinking. When God gives us that reward, you just be certain the work that you do is not in vain. And it will not be in vain. One fellow says, judge each day not by the harvest that's reaped, but by the seed you plant. I like that, don't you? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Preachers all sit around in the preacher ego circle. I said, man, why? I think what we are teaching, we've got Bible studies going on, we've got people. Wouldn't that be great? No. Man, we've got groups of people that are people counting, open up God's Word and studying God's Word. Boy, wouldn't that be great to hear? Wouldn't that be refreshing to hear? A lot of fellows, a lot of cultivators, a lot of plowing in those parts. I can't walk on water. I can't jump over the moon, but I'll tell you what I can do. I can talk to people about Jesus Christ. You said there's going to be a few to find it. And you know what? Jesus is right. He's right. Not my job to select who that is. My job is to invite, to ask, and to say. Reason part's going to take care of itself. Who gets some of that? Invitation songs for those that are outside of Christ that's never been planted in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Has the gospel been sown in your heart time and time again and you've never responded? This is your time to respond. This is your time to reap the harvest of all of that teaching. Someone can immerse you in water for the forgiveness of your sins. You can be added to the Lord's church and be a Christian this very day if you've never done that. Jesus also talks about, Paul talks about, those that have strayed away, those that have separated themselves from the body of Christ. You can be reunited with the body of Christ. Once again, you can pray with you, your sins will be forgiven. Please come as together we stand and sing.